Hello, and welcome to the History of Haiti. In the last episode, we discussed Sylvain Saunov and the civil war he created. Ended the last episode with his defeat and death. Because of time, I stopped that episode there, rather than going into the analysis I typically apply to events like that. So I want to begin this episode with that analysis of that civil war. So Saunov's war had a few different effects on Haiti and on Haiti's future. To begin, civil war is never good for a country economically or politically. On the economic side, the civil war had destroyed much of the country's little infrastructure. Especially in the south, the destructive Piquet armies had pillaged most of the civilian infrastructure. The little industrialization that Giffard had attempted was almost all destroyed. The educational system, similarly constructed by Giffard, had been pretty much abandoned. On a more commercial side, the currency was actually worthless. The gourde had suffered massive hyperinflation and counterfeiting, and now there were multiple different currencies. So, economically, Haiti was a mess at the end of the Civil War. On the political side, the war had just created a new group of power-hungry military leaders. These leaders would come to dominate Haitian politics for the next decade, with some maintaining relevance even later. And yes, these leaders were military, not political. While some, like Saget, had political beliefs, many just wanted power. The Civil War had also highlighted the fractures in Haitian society along which future battles would be fought. Colored versus black, rich versus poor, liberal versus autocrat, pro-foreigner versus anti-foreigner, etc. Well, yes, the Republican side had won. Everyone would remember how it had won. They had won with the aid of foreign powers. They had won with the support of the British and the French, and the new modern technology that they had purchased. As foreign powers began looking towards Haiti, so too would future Haitian warlords turn towards Britain, France, Germany, or the United States for support. The Civil War had ended with, as I talked about last episode, the seizure of Port-au-Prince, and then the capture and execution of Saunov. In the south, some final action was done to crush the revolt in the mountains, ending with a series of arrests, executions, and suicides of Piquet leaders. In Lacay, Michel Domingue, the president of the Southern Republic, held a massacre of prisoners in the jails of Lacay. This marked him as violent in the eyes of the Haitian people. With the civil war now decisively won by the liberals, the obvious next step was to try to create a liberal government in Haiti. Nissage Saget, who was elected president, but only for 4 years. I should note here that there was a question of whether Domingue or Saget would take power, with both of them having been presidents of states. There is a story I have read, which may be untrue, that Saget and Domingue agreed that while Saget would get the presidency, Domingue would secede him. This will become important later. With the country exhausted from the Civil War, and with the new wave of liberalism, Saget would find his reign surprisingly peaceful. But that did not mean that he was incredibly popular. Many distrusted some of his policies, and believed that Haiti needed to go farther with liberalism than what Saget was doing. But instead of revolting, these liberals took up their fight in the legislature, both in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, forming an opposition party hostile to the government. Through the latter half of the 1800s, many foreign countries began looking towards Latin America and the Caribbean as opportunities. One example of this is Germany, and this would lead to the Bosch affair with Haiti. Germany was a recently unified country, and it was beginning to expand its sphere of influence, both in Europe and abroad. In Europe, the sudden rise and expansion of German territory triggered the Franco-Prussian War. With this war, many Haitians sympathy for the French side. Seeing this, the Germans saw an opportunity to try to establish that Haiti was inferior to them. They were trying to place themselves as superior to Haiti. In Haiti, there existed a sizable population of Germans, mostly merchants. In June of 1872, a German commander surnamed Bacht arrived with two ships in the harbor of Port-au-Prince. He was there to demand $15,000, which was a lot more back then than it is today. This was demanded in compensation for two German merchants killed during the Civil War, as well as other infractions. But his real goal, of course, was to intimidate the Haitians. To enforce his demand, he seized two Haitian ships and said that he would not return them until after the payment. The whole affair lasted a few months, but Saget paid up and Bacht returned the ships. When the ships were returned, the Haitians found excrement smeared over the Haitian flag on the ship to insult them. This was not the first nor the last case of gunboat diplomacy used by foreign governments against Haiti. Another incident happened a few months later when an American steamboat going to Cuba to sell weapons to Cuban rebels arrived in Port-au-Prince. Two Spanish steamboats also arrived and demanded the seizure of the boat, as the Cuban rebels were fighting Spain. The Haitian government found itself caught in the middle of a foreign disagreement. In the end, the ship was just sent back to America. Haiti was not the only country foreign powers had their eye on the island of Hispaniola. So too was the United States looking eagerly towards their neighbor, the Dominican Republic. This leads me to the wild story of how the United States came so close to annexing the Dominican Republic. In the United States, with the Civil War now over, there were about 4 million newly freed African Americans in America. Many abolitionists, and a lot of African Americans themselves, held the pretty racist belief that black and white people would not peacefully coexist. This was the driving force for much of the American immigration to Haiti, as I have previously talked about. With this, a question arose as to what to do with the freed slaves. The answer, according to some, was to deport them to a foreign country. Caribbean nations were looked at as possible destinations. In 1863, with permission from Giffard, an American filibuster got a few hundred blacks to immigrate to a small island off the coast of Lakai. This went terribly, and about 200 of them died of disease. But about a decade later, the United States was once again looking for a place to deport its African Americans. One option appeared to be the Dominican Republic. There, Buenaventura Baez had once again taken power and was looking to strengthen his power by making the country a part of the United States. He held a referendum, which was obviously rigged, among the Dominican people over whether or not to let themselves be annexed. The result, because it was rigged, came back as the Dominicans overwhelmingly supported annexation. The president at this time, Ulysses S. Grant, was a huge supporter of this and commissioned a treaty with Baez to annex it and put the Dominican Republic on track to becoming a state. But some in the United States were opposed to this. Many racists believed that the southern economy needed black people to function. So abolitionists also held the belief that the U.S. imperialism was bad. So when the treaty was sent to the United States Senate, the vote was tied, but needed 2/3 to pass. So the Dominican Republic narrowly escaped becoming a United States state. Returning to Haiti, with the country now at peace, some of the damage left behind by Sonov could be repaired. As the economic and political systems returned to stabilize, the country was also able to rebuild. Soon, coffee exports were once again up. Money was once again able to come to the government, and so payment of the French indemnity resumed. The biggest mess that Saget inherited from the Civil War was that of currency. As I've talked about before, the paper currency had been totally destroyed by inflation, and by the fact that each of the multiple different governments had their own currency. To deal with this, Saget turned his attention towards the finances. He began by hiring new state employees for parts of the administration involving finance and cracking down on corruption and mismanagement within his industry. He also revalued the currency in 1870. When after a few years the currency was still a mess, Saget made the decision to withdraw all paper money from circulation, which was actually pretty successful. In its place, Haitians returned to using hard specie as well as foreign coins for its currency. But quickly, the paper gourd was reintroduced, albeit a new rendition. As I go through the narrative of Haitian political history, I want to stop for a moment to talk briefly about economics. So, to zoom out to a worldwide perspective, we can see a massive change that had been going on for decades. This change is what we today call the Industrial Revolution. In simplest terms, the Industrial Revolution was the transformation of Europe, the United States, and soon other parts of the world from an agrarian economy to an industrial economy. New technology which would change almost every aspect of human life, was introduced. Economies changed from the old mercantile system to a more modern system of capitalism. But it wasn't as much the case with Haiti. In Haiti, the Le Coeur system of Maroon economics remained mostly unchanging. Haiti stayed with the agrarian, inefficient economy. Its economic system still used the Le Coeur system without really a big change to the capitalism that was developing in other parts of the world. The modern industrial economy would just not grow out of Haiti. There wasn't really any foreign investment to develop infrastructure. And even when there was a drive for industrialization, as I will talk about in future episodes, the people of Haiti and these Maroon communities resisted changes to their economies. As Saget approached the end of his term, the opposition political party increased its activities. When elections for the new House of Representatives were held in 1873, these guys won most of the seats. Saget even attempted to rig one of the elections to prevent their leader from winning, but this failed. So he used military force to expel this guy from the chamber. But the rest of the opposition was unfazed. Their main issue was who the next president would be. Saget and his government favored Michel Domingue, but he had shown himself to be a bloodthirsty through his massacre of political prisoners in Lacaille. The liberal opposition did not trust him. They favored a guy named Montplaisant Pierre. As Saget's mandate approached an end, the House of Representatives could not be called to form an electoral assembly because of some vacancies. This led to Saget bypassing the House and giving command of the army to Domingue, and then getting the secretaries of state to declare Domingue president. With this theft of power, next episode we will watch as the country returns to instability.